Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church this Ash Wednesday. I'm happy to see you here. So today's service is going to go just a little bit differently than our normal Sunday service. But everything you need is in the bulletin. Also, you'll notice that there is a piece of paper inside the bulletin, and you should have gotten a marker with that. We will be using that later. If you need a marker, please see Peggy. Okay. With that, let us gather together and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. We come to worship God as the Lenten season begins, aware of our frailty and our failings. We come seeking God's mercy, acknowledging our mortality. Having received the waters of baptism, we are marked now with ashes. The treasures of this earth do not last. Our treasure is in heaven, our heart's true home. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, Beneath the Cross of Jesus. Please be seated. Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, 1 through 6, and 16 through 21. Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look somber like the hypocrites, for they mark their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Merciful God, your word is our way of truth and life. Create in us hearts that are clean and put your Holy Spirit within us so that we may receive your grace and declare your praise forever through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So actually in the bulletin, the title for the sermon is correct. I mistakenly told Peggy the wrong title, and that is, she put something different on the outside, but that is my fault. That is not Peggy's. What?
We are here.
Okay, thanks. Yes, we still welcome in. Everyone is still invited in. I know that each of you who are sitting here today, I know that you are deeply committed to this church. I know you're deeply committed to Christ. I know you're committed to Glenshaw Valley because you're here today. I know that when you say that you're praying for Glenshaw Valley and the people within it, I know you're not just saying that. I know you're not seeking some sort of praise or recognition for praying. You are leaders. You serve on boards and committees. You came here this evening to be reminded of your mortality, which, like, who does that? Who wants to think of that? And it's understandable that not everyone wants to come to church and to be reminded of their death today. There are a lot of temptations in the world, and I mean, I can certainly relate to some of those temptations. Some people are tempted by unbelief, and those folks who are tempted by unbelief can find themselves languishing. They're in despair, and they don't see a point to worship. And then there are those who are tempted by hedonism, and they're led by their senses. They're constantly on the move to find the next pleasurable thing that's happening. And these hard pews they're not fun. There's not a lot of pleasure in these pews and these little tiny pieces of bread, even though it is fantastic shortbread. And symbols of grape juice don't seem very satisfying. But you and me, us religious people, We're not like them. We understand why worship is important. We are refreshed by that little sip of grape juice. We know what God wants for us. And yeah, we face temptations, yeah, but not like those other folks, right? I'd argue we're sometimes tempted to substitute religion for God, though. We sometimes mistake the roadmap for the destination, and we focus a lot on those rules instead of relationships. Now, relationships with people are difficult, and they're difficult to cultivate, but connecting with a God who defies our senses, man, that seems impossible sometimes. We long for it for years or decades, and it's so hard. We tend to grow weary and tired of trying. And sometimes we even ask if God is even listening. God gifts us with practices of almsgiving and prayer and service and fasting so that we can draw nearer to God. But sometimes we take those gifts and we turn them into rules. And then we use those rules as a signal to other people saying, we know who's in and who's out based on how well they follow those rules that were initially gifts. And for me to know that you're following the rules, you have to do them so that I can see. We've turned those gifts, those tools that God has given us, into performances to show people how faithful we are, to prove that we are righteous. But Jesus says, all right, if you want recognition from other people that you are righteous, that's your reward. You've got the pat on the back from other people. But how's your relationship with God, though? Truly. And that makes today, Ash Wednesday, a bit of a parody. We're all going to come forward and we're going to get a little bit of ashes smudged on our foreheads to let everyone else know that we've been to worship today. Others are going to see our smeared faces and they're going to go, oh, that person is certainly religious. And Jesus declares, truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. And it's in that moment that we can kind of laugh at ourselves. We've been recognized for our religiosity, for our identity as Christian, but not necessarily for our relationship with Christ. So we come here to the 6 weeks of Lent, a time to focus on prayer, repentance, almsgiving, fasting, reflecting. Not because that's what we've been told to do. Not because we need other people to see how well we will follow the rules. But because they're opportunities for us to deepen our relationship with God. So this Lenten season, ask yourself if you are giving to get. If you're praying because you're supposed to, or because praying provides you with hope. If you're fasting to fit into a new outfit, or to heighten your awareness of Jesus. Over the next 6 weeks, build a Lent that becomes your life. and build a Lent that draws you closer to God, closer to the God that sees you in secret. Amen. So I'm going to invite you into the observance of the Lenten discipline. Beloved people of God, every year at the time of the Christian Passover, we celebrate our redemption through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lent is a time to prepare for this celebration and to renew our life in the Paschal mystery. We begin this holy season by acknowledging our need for repentance and our need for the mercy and forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We begin our journey to Easter with the sign of the ashes. It's an ancient sign that speaks to the frailty and the uncertainty of human life, and it also marks penitence of this community. So I invite you, therefore, in the name of Christ, to observe a holy Lent by self-examination and penitence, by prayer and fasting, by works of love, and by meditating on God's word. Now let us bow before God, our Creator and Redeemer, and confess our sin. When I pause, please respond with, "Have mercy on us, O God." Holy and merciful God, we confess to you and to one another and to the whole communion of saints in heaven and on earth that we have sinned by our own fault in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven. Have mercy on us, O God. We have not listened to your call to serve as Christ served us. We have not been true to the mind of Christ. We have grieved your Holy Spirit. Have mercy on us, O God. We confess to you, O God, all our past unfaithfulness, for the pride, hypocrisy, and impatience in our lives. Have mercy on us, O God. For our self-indulgent appetites and ways and our exploitation of other people, have mercy on us, O God. For anger at our own frustration and our envy of those more fortunate than ourselves, have mercy on us, O God. For our intemperate love of worldly goods and comforts and our dishonesty in daily life and work, have mercy on us, O God. For our negligence in prayer and worship and our failure to commend the faith that is in us, have mercy on us, O God. Accept our repentance, O God, for the wrongs we have done, for our neglect of human need and suffering, and our indifference to injustice and cruelty. Have mercy on us, O God. For all false judgments, for uncharitable thoughts towards our neighbors, and for our prejudice and contempt towards those who differ from us. Have mercy on us, O God. For our waste and pollution of your creation and our lack of concern for those who come after us, have mercy on us, O God. Restore us, O God of salvation, and show us your steadfast love. Turn to us in your mercy and to redeem us. Amen. So you will note that there are small slips of paper in your bulletins. I would like you to take a moment now to think of what is burdening you. What load are you carrying? What sins do you need to repent of? What do you want to leave behind in this service? Write that down on your paper. And as you come forward to receive your ashes, bring that burdensome paper to the baptismal font and release it into the water. And you will see that the baptismal waters will wipe it clean. Remember how God's affirming love expressed in baptism sustained Jesus through trials and temptations of the desert. Become aware of how your baptism can sustain you in the wild and unpredictable moments of your life. And watch how the baptismal waters clear away this obstacle on your paper. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. May the ashes be for us a sign of our mortality and penitence, for it is only by your gracious gifts that we are given everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. If you would like, when I give you the ashes, you can let me know if you want it on your hand or if you're on your forehead. I will say, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And if you would like to respond, you can say amen, or you can say, in life and death, I belong to God. You may take your time whenever you are ready to come forward. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn, Sign Us with Ashes. Please be seated. We are encouraged in the Gospel of Matthew to give our alms, our offerings to God, quietly, without ostentation and without calculation. God, who sees and knows our motivations and actions, is able to reward our faithfulness. Let us now submit our tithes and offerings. Our treasures, O Lord, come from your hand. Out of your goodness towards us, we have received so much, knowing that we came into this life with nothing and will go out the same way. We give of the time, talents, and resources we have now. Use them as you will for your Son's sake. Amen. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to let you sit down. Please rise in body or spirit for our communion hymn, Bread of Life from Heaven. Please be seated. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. People will come from north and south, from east and west, to sit table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Friends, this is not Glenshaw Valley's table. This is not even a Presbyterian table. This is the Lord's table. And our Savior invites those who trust in him to share the feast that he has prepared. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, creator and ruler of the universe. You are our God and we are the creatures of your hand. You made us from the dust of the earth, breathed into us the breath of life and set us in your world to love and to serve you. When we rejected your love and ignored your wisdom, you did not reject us. You loved us still and called us to turn again to you in obedience and love.
Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the heavenly choirs and with all of the faithful of every time and every place who forever sing in the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus was at table with his disciples, he took bread and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. Whenever you do this, remember me." In the same way, he took and poured the cup, saying, "Take and drink. Whenever you do this, remember me." Now, whenever we eat and drink at this table, we celebrate Christ's death and resurrection until he comes again. Gracious God, pour your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these, your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion in the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every time and in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. The gifts of God for the people of God.
God of compassion, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you reconciled your people to yourself. Following his example of prayer and fasting, may we obey you with willing hearts and serve one another in holy love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, Our Father, We Have Wandered. Wandered, not wondered. Before we go back out into the world, let me offer you a charge and benediction, which will come to be familiar to you by the end of the Lenten season. Practice your piety not before others, but before God. Give generously, but quietly. Pray constantly, but confidently. Fast with gratitude to God. And store up that which is in your heart, for it cannot be taken from you. The blessing of God, who hears when you call, the grace of Christ, who reconciles you, the power of the Holy Spirit, who sustains you, remain with you in these Lenten days and for all of your days, forevermore. Amen.